We were in Galatians 5 last week looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to do a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul is working through about the tension between the Spirit, you know, the observation of the law, which judges our actions and leads to sin and death, not because the law is bad, but because we've got something wrong with us. And we looked at that last week. And then Paul gets to this point where he describes the character of God in a series of fruit, and by the way, the Greek word fruit works just the same way that, if I remember rightly, it's karpos, the Greek word for fruit, is that you can say fruits or fruit. It's this, you've got choices with the plural, yeah? And the fruit of the Spirit, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. In other words, where the Holy Spirit is at work, you will see these kinds of fruit. It's evidence of the existence of the work of the Spirit. By the way, it is also evidence of the work of the Spirit in people who do not proclaim to be Christians. And that's a whole rabbit hole that we could go down. But you will find virtuous people in all sorts of different walks of life. And that is, according to the theology of Paul, I would argue, a fruit of the Spirit. Because none of this stuff exists without the work of God. Indeed, the Old Testament is full of stories of pretty wicked people doing godly stuff or doing stuff in God's name. That's the narrative of the Old Testament. It's full of people like that. But as I say, we're not going to look at that today. What I want to do today is to focus on the first of these. And it was part of the reason we're doing this is I was having a discussion with Anne during the summer, and she says, the fruit of the Spirit, I bet they're not in that order by accident. And whether it's Paul was, you know, writing this down or dictating it, there's just something about the order of these that we'll see how they build one on another. But the first one, okay, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. What's the first one? Love. Okay. So we've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah? The nine fruit of the Spirit. Of course, we could bolt on other ones, but we just, for this season, for this session, we're going to work on the basis that it was the Holy Spirit's intent that this nine are here as a group. So love, 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 love. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Just a wee reminder that the word for love here is the Greek word agape, which is self-giving love. There are other words in the Greek language that tend to have different emphases. They can be interchangeable. There's philo, which is friendship, and there's eros, from which we get the word erotic, which is, you know, well, you can figure that one out for yourself. And, you know, so there's different words for love, but this is agape, which is a word which in the early church gains a whole currency of its own because there's very, very few times it appears outside the New Testament. But in the New Testament, this is predominantly the word that's used. When Jesus is restoring Peter after his denial in John, at the back end of John's gospel, Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And he says, I philia you. You know, do you love me with that self-giving love? I love you with a kind of friendship love. We're buddies. Yeah, okay. And he asks him again, do you agape me? And Peter says, I philia you. And then Jesus says, do you philia me? And then Peter breaks. So it's, here is love, that's agape love. What I would like you to do, though, and it's good you're chatty today, because I'm going to get you to do some work. What I want you to do is to chat with your neighbor, okay? What's your favorite verse about love in the Bible? Okay? All right. Now, some of you are walking concordances. You know where that verse is. Some of you, it's kind of like, oh, where does it say this, that, or the other? All right, elders, would you please put up your hands? So, just find someone nearby you, but predominantly elders. They'll be able to find it for you. And you got phones, okay? Well, everyone got a smartphone? So if you've got an idea what the verse is, look it up, Bible Gateway, and you'll probably find it. So go have a look. Dig up your favorite verses on love. So, does anybody want to share? Ellen, what's your favorite Bible verse about love?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul.
Excellent.
And love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Okay, did anyone else have that? Okay, so that's Jesus' distillation of the law. Okay. Any others?
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. John 3:16.
John 3:16. Excellent. Any others? What's your favorite verse about love, John? Just taking it as a verse.
Romans 8:38, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears today nor...
It's gone. Nor death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor anything in... Yeah, this whole thing. Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Fantastic. Yes, Richard.
I thought of one in my head. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's the same as what John has. It's in my head as well.
Thank you. John 3:16 is in there. That's great. So we had Romans 8:38. Did anyone else have Romans 8:38? Anyone else have Romans 3:16? We Forrest, the hands goes up. Okay. Right. Right, Janice.
This is Corinthians 13, verse 7. It's love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance.
Amazing. From 1 Corinthians 13. Anyone else have bits of 1 Corinthians 13? You might have had other bits there. Kath?
I've got Romans 5, verse 8. Certainly we will not like everyone, nor are we called to. Even so, when we begin to love someone with God's love, our attitude towards that person changes.
Oh, that's a belter. Which translation is that? Is that from the Message or someone like that? I like that. Right. Google. The Google version. Brilliant. Which is all versions if you look hard enough. Helena?
Is that Ephesians, whoever lives in love, lives in God, and God in them.
Oh, yeah, 1 John 4. Tend to start weddings with that one. Anyone else have that one from 1 John 4? Brilliant.
Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord dances over us with great joy and love.
Oh, absolutely. That is a paraphrase. Yeah, he rejoices over us with festive singing. Absolute. Zephaniah 3:17. Go, Joe.
Yeah, it's a later bit from 1 John 4, and it's 1 John 4:11. It says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us."
Oh, 1 John 4 is amazing. I'm sure there's other bits of... Yes, Sonny.
It's a Song of Songs. It's 8, 6, and 7. It plays me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. Love is as strong as death, as jealousy as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can river drown it. If a man tried to buy love with all his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sonny. Katrina, you had John 3:16 as well. Any up the back? Oh, right, Darius, coming around.
God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. It's a kind of love.
Wow. Brilliant. Joshua.
All right, I've got a favorite one. This is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted above the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth.
Brilliant. Thank you. Wow. Yes.
Yes, Ed, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace which passeth all understanding, that shall keep your mind and your heart through Jesus.
Hey! Amen. Mm-hmm. So, here's the thing. There are many, many, many verses about love, are there not? Many of them are the ones we have on cards, on our fridges, you know, stuck somewhere that we can see. Here's some that just the first ones that came to my mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I love taking it from Leviticus 19:18, because for all sorts of reasons, Leviticus has been a bit of a tug of war recently. And some of us find Leviticus really hard because we're not priests or butchers. So just a reminder that when Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, he's quoting straight from the Torah, from the Pentateuch, from Deuteronomy. From Leviticus, sorry. Here's one, William. I always think of you, because this is William's favorite Bible verse. Here's the translation from the NLT, but the NIV would be, a new commandment I give to you to love one another as I have loved you. Yes? By this, all people will know that you're a disciple, my disciples, that you love one another. That's going to be a mark of how the church is. For God so loved the world. Some of you got that one. The end of 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love is eternal. That's just think about that for a while. Just think about that for a while. Love is eternal. It doesn't ever end. Ever. Ever. Even though the people who are once married pass away, even though the entire communities pass away, there's something about the nature of love that is death-defying. Favorite of mine is 1 John 4:16. It's also 1 John 4:8. 1 John 4 is like a symposium on love. You just work your way through the entire chapter. Perfect love casts out all fear. You know, if you say that you love God but hate your brother, then, you know, truth isn't in you. And of course, it was picked up by Helena there. If we love, God lives in us. You know, there's so much stuff in there. God is love. There's only two Bible verses where God's nature is laid bare for us to understand. The first is God is spirit. The second is God is love. And they're both in John's writings. It's wanting to say something about the nature of love. It's not just that God is loving. God is love. Right. And all love flows from Him. Now, if we had more time, I would be asking you this question. Who do you love and why? But we took a bit extra time with that, and that's fine. But just have a think where you're sitting at the moment. Who are at the top of... And if you want to know, it tends to be the, you know, who do we give cards and gifts to, you know? Who do we phone up most regularly? Who's on our speed dial, for those of you who still use such things? Who do you love and why? Starting to see their faces?
Mm-hmm.
Some of you are sitting very close to them just now. Some of you are sitting an aching distance away from them. Some of you have had to say goodbye to some of these people for some reason or another. Who do you love and why? Last week, do you remember we looked at the Bible Project video, of the theme video of the Messiah? And if you haven't, if you didn't watch it last week, I would recommend that you look up the Bible Project either on their own website or on YouTube and look up their theme video on the Messiah. If you're listening to this on the podcast, it'd be a good idea to pause, maybe have a look at that. And when you get home, have another look at it. It's well worth that investment of 6 minutes of your life. But in that story, we get the story of how Adam and Eve rebel. A promise is given of one who will crush the head of the serpent, but that serpent will also strike the heel of the promised one who has come. But through that death, as the prophet Isaiah builds it up, that person who is crushed for us will be the one who rescues us, which is the strangest thing when you think that, well, the one who's crushed on our behalf should be the one that we take the funeral for. But no, this person somehow transcends death and does something about it. And we find the answer to that in Jesus. But here's the thing. Love is broken when Adam and Eve fall. As we were taking as our theme last week, we were made by love, for love, in love, to love and to be loved. And we've still got these images from Charlie Mackesy and that picture of the prodigal and many of our slides today. Because love has been broken, just like the prodigal going off into the far country or the resentment of the elder son. So love needs to be restored. And the story of the Jewish people, of the giving of the law, of the covenant faithfulness to Abraham and all of that stuff, all of that is set up so that from that people group, someone can come who can fulfill the promise, fulfill the covenant, and so open up the love of the God of the Jews to the entire world. That's what we see in Jesus. And that love that made us, that love that we have for one another, that love we have for God and God has for us, is first and foremost the bond between us, is it not? It's the bond between us. There is an old way of constructing the Trinity where you have the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit is seen as the bond of love between Father and Son. The bond of love. If you like Latin, the vinculum caritas, okay? But that's all that is, the bond of love. I and many others think that that's an insufficient definition of who the Holy Spirit is, but it's definitely there. And there's love between Father, Son, and Spirit. That is the bond where we say we worship one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And in creating us, that bond is made with us. And in loving one another, that bond is made between. The bond between Adam and Eve, the bond between them and their children, the bond between us and ours. Those bonds that were being formed in our mother's womb before even we were properly fully conscious. Do you hear me? So love is primarily that bond. I want you to keep that in your mind. And I'm going to take a wee diversion. Who here has had a desk job? Come on, let's see you. Good. I thought the majority of you had a desk job. We're now going to have a desk job moment. Because I'm going to speak to you this morning about the joy of stationery. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Those of you, you have feather top pencils. And for those of us in our civil service office, our favorite was you could get enough Tippex in a civil service office to Tippex your entire stapler. So I had a stapler that was entirely Tippexed and was in two-tone green and yellow highlighter pen with highlighter green dots on it, because I knew the joy of stationery. I would love to tell you, taxpayers, that when I left the civil service, all I took was the clothes I was standing in, but that's not entirely true. Oh, no. It took me a long time to get through those staples, so thank you, taxpayers. And I enjoyed the services of that unique stapler because I thought nobody else is going to want a stapler in two-tone neon with green dots on it. Oh, yes, the joy of stationery. And if you've had the joy of stationery, you will have also come across rubber bands of various sizes. Am I right? So what can you do with rubber bands? You can persecute one another, especially those big ones for files. They bring up a welt, and it certainly breaks the monotony of the day. But with the smaller rubber bands, there's really only one thing you can do with a small box of sort of medium-sized rubber bands. You've got to make a rubber band ball. You have to make a rubber band ball. You can make a rubber band ball with other stuff. I'm not going to give you the name, but one of our elders with dreadlocks once made a rubber band ball with 50,000 pounds of used notes that were heading to the incinerator. The most expensive ball I think any of us would have kicked. But he did get into trouble for that, I might add. Yeah, I was wondering. But a rubber band ball is a wondrous thing, is it not? Yeah, okay. Why am I telling you about rubber band balls? Well, here's why. Love is primarily the bond between us, right? I've been thinking over the summer, what's church? What is church at its heart? Church is, I would suggest, the relationships that we have with Jesus and one another. Yeah? So those relationships. A bit like a rubber band ball. Can you follow Jesus on your own? Yeah, sure you can. You're just one rubber band sitting on the desk. And frankly, you've got one ping or one hold in you. But if you join up with a whole bunch of other rubber bands, you become something else entirely. I discovered today when I was looking for images, people sell rubber band balls on eBay. You can currently buy an 8-kilo one. If you want that in pounds, it's lots. All right? Multiply by 2.2, so that's sort of 24, 25-pound rubber ball. For 25 quid. There, you never knew, did you? But the church It's kind of like a rubber band ball. It's all those relationships that we have with Jesus, with one another, and of course with the wider community, parish, relational groups, online communities, whatever it is we're a part of. It's a bundle of rubber bands. That's all it really is, all bundled together, bonded to one another. And the interesting thing is about a rubber band ball is even when one of the rubber bands snaps, if it's towards the inside, it's protected. And it's the job of the rubber bands on the outside to keep the ones that are broken on the inside in. Oh, we could have fun with that, couldn't we? But then I'll be keeping you here all morning. So church, there is just the relationships of love that we have with one another, relationships of commitment. And it's like a rubber band ball. Have you got that image in your head? Good. Because here's image number two. Love is foundational. Now, I'm not entirely sure how you get foundations and rubber balls all put together. Who knows? If you had a gazillion rubber bands, you could maybe build a foundation out of rubber band balls. But that's not the point for me to make these fit together. I'm just saying that church is like a rubber band ball with those love relationships we have with God with one another. And that love is foundational. It's foundational to everything. Absolutely everything. Because love is first in this list. That agape, self-giving love is first. Because love is the thing upon which you can build other stuff. Yeah? I took a wedding yesterday. It was lovely. It was Chris and Claire Crawford. It was Claire Crawford's big brother. And so there was lots of people there that I knew, that I'd taken weddings for beforehand. And what I said to them is, I said, all the love that you have for one another, it all comes from a source. It all comes from God. Because ants, they're amazing things. But really, ants can get by without love. They just get on with being ants, right? But we were made differently. We are made differently. We were made for love. When we are loved, we prosper, we flourish. When love is removed from us, we're heartbroken and depressed and struggle. We are actually made to love. We were born to be loved. And in truth, you know, it's love holds it all together. And I said, so generous-hearted is God's love that He gives it away freely to everyone, even atheists. And they laugh. But that's just a retelling of the verse that it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. When we read that verse, we think that's a bad day. But see, when you live in Jesus' hometown, when the rains come, that's a good day. God's love is foundational. It's there. It's generally there. Our whole society, I know some of you are concerned about the political situation at the moment. But trust me, if you wanted to live anywhere in history at any time, here would not be a bad place. And we show far too little gratitude that you and I get to live as kings and queens of previous generations. And we stand on the shoulders of people who slaved and labored to make sure that that could be so for us. And indeed, we live better than kings and queens in the past because we're unlikely to be murdered at the end of our life, which for many leaders of countries in the past might have been our fate. Love is foundational, and that love is being spread abroad in the world. And it bothers us where we see places where it's being withheld, and it encourages us where we see places that it's happening. That's why we did the Fun Day, is it not? Because we love these people. And we spoke about the importance of hospitality, but hospitality has to be based on a foundation of love, or it might just be cold manipulation, that we're being hospitable to people so that they'll be kind to us because we need something they've got. And there's nothing wrong with reciprocity, but love, if it's at the foundation of everything we do, then we can build stuff on it. So here I am at this wedding, and I'm thinking, do you know what? They're going to have to trust one another. They're going to have to build a life together. They have been together 15 years and had 4 kids, so that's a fair test drive. But even so, their relationship will change because they've now made that commitment to one another. And that commitment is foundational. You can build stuff on that. And when that cracks, bad stuff comes tumbling down. Trust. Security. Relationships. The fabric of our communities are based on a foundation of love. Because fairness isn't enough. If we just gave back to people what they gave to us, we'd live in a miserable world. What we do is we overachieve. And that self-giving love says, do you know what? I'm going to give you more than even I think you're able to give me when the opportunity arises. So, love is the bond between us. Here's my question to you this morning. Here's the challenge, okay? What am I doing to allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen those bonds with those people that I love and I'm called to love? Am I doing that? Or am I loving them in my own strength and then coming to God in a pity puddle when things go wrong or in genuine distress? But what am I doing to allow the Holy Spirit to grow this fruit in my life? Am I putting myself in the place where the love that I need can pour in so it can overflow out? Am I? And the evidence of that will be the fruit of your life. You will see that. You'll be able to see it for yourself, and the people around about you will be able to see it too. Second challenge is this. So what am I doing to allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen those bonds? Where and who is He calling me to love with His love? Where and who? Which group of people? Which people in particular? Am I asking those questions? Or has He already told me and I've kind of blown a little cold on some of the things that He's called me to? Do I need to pick up the phone or send an email or go visit someone? Is there something that I can be doing? Is there some way that I can bring some joy, strengthen the bond with someone who's very important to me? And the answer will always be yes to that. And we need help with this every day, don't we? Children are the evidence of that. And we're going to finish with this. All of us are called to love our own children and other people's children. That's one of the joys of church, is you get to be a parent or grandparent or auntie or uncle or big brother or sister or little brother or sister if you're on the younger side. To other people, right? It's one of the great things. Even if you live on your own, when you come here, there are people who are glad to see you and who, you know, you have that kind of bond with. It's a wonderful thing. But who are we being called to love? And are we allowing the Holy Spirit to overflow in that in our lives? Are we seeing that fruit? So, love, self-giving love, is right throughout the Scriptures. It's primarily the bond between us. And it was given to us before we were even aware. It is what holds us together, just like a rubber band ball in church. And indeed in any community. But the wonderful thing about church is that bundle of relationships, not just with each other, but with the risen Jesus and with that wider community. Love's foundational. We have to build upon it. And love is that bond. What am I doing to allow the Holy Spirit to build that in me? And who and where is the Holy Spirit calling me to love? And of course, to be loved. May we pray.